for Tuesday, September 11th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Harry Osborn himself, Scott Porter.
Hello.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. I'm back from Europe.
Scott, we've known each other a long time now.
We've been
doing shows since the old IGN days when I first ran into you during a little Walking Dead game you were in.
Yes.
You remember that, you know what I mean?
Yes, a small Walking Dead.
If people don't know you, how do you describe yourself to people?
Fun-loving, over-competitive. No. How do I describe myself to people?
So you meet somebody at a party and you're like, what do you do?
Hey, I live in Los Angeles, so my common answer is I'm in the business like everyone else. It becomes this whole like game. There's two things that happen, right? If you're around a bunch of other actors, then the question is really, what are you working on now?
Yeah.
And there's this like squint of the eyes and this all of a sudden. And then if it's like somebody that doesn't know you and they see you at like an airport, say, and they're like, hey, you're from a thing, right?
Yeah.
And then you're like, and they're like, what was the thing? I'm like, oh God, this is where you start going, Friday Night Lights?
No,
that's not it.
Yeah.
Speed Racer?
Yeah.
No, that's not.
Heart of Dixie.
That's not it either. So it just gets like super embarissing very quickly. So
and then eventually
I'm
Nightwing in the Arkham games. And they're like,
oh my God. Yeah. Which I didn't do facial capture for. So obviously it doesn't even look like me.
Voice,
but
man,
somehow,
the voice. That's what
somehow
it's all
they
about.
Figured it out.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I'm a big kid playing pretend for a living.
Well, I want to talk about it later. What I love about you is that when I met, I had known of you obviously beforehand. I had known you more for your live action roles. You know what I mean? Like being in front of the camera. And then as you started to enter the game space, I knew you not even as a voice actor as much as just a fan. And it seems like you really tricked everybody into giving you voiceover roles and stuff.
Yeah, man. It's all about the hustle. And my agent just hated it. But I was like, no, it's like, this is how I got into the business in the first place.
Yeah.
Like you build relationships with people and then eventually you want to work together, and that's like how I did it. I would like stop by. My very first game was X-Men Destiny.
Oh my God. What a winner.
Game.
What a winner you got on the
it
first
was
one
me,
there.
Milo Ventimiglia and Jamie Chung played the,
the three different characters,
playable
you could be.
Characters. Yeah. And, I had stopped by the Activision booth at E3 and I was like playing the game and, you know, some of the devs were there and some of the PR folks were all there and I was playing through it and I play a lot of games.
Yeah.
So I know a lot about games. And they were like, wow, you really actually are a fan of games. I was like, I am.
Yeah. Isn't everyone?
And they're like, we're a fan of Friday Night Lights. I was like, oh, well, that's, you know what we should do? We should work together.
Yeah.
And they were like, yes, we should. And then they sent me, I auditioned for 32 roles in X-Men Destiny.
Okay.
Everything from Iceman to Pyro to Colossus to Magneto.
Sure.
And then they called and they're like, we actually read copy of this, and I did it, and I didn't know it was for one of the leads, but they were like, we think this is the one. So
wow,
yeah, that's how I ended up. But I did it, man. I you know, just hunkered down, did every accent I knew, and just tried to get in, and that's how. I mean, The Walking Dead. I played the first season like four different times, and I stopped by the Telltale booth at Comic-Con and got to meet some of them, and then over Twitter. Got asked if I would want to come. And
I mean, that's
maybe
the thing is that, and it's why you're on this show, of course, is that you're a real fan. Like, you know your shit. Like, when I talk to you about games, you're up on the most recent stuff. You're playing all the stuff. You're aware. You're the real deal. And then you get to go be in the games as well and be awesome voice actors. And you were Superboy in Lego, so that's pretty cool, too.
That was, like, one of my most fun roles. Superboy and Aquaman both in the Lego. Being in the Lego game, my wife and I have 1K'd or Max Platinum, is that what
Platinum,
on PlayStation? Yeah, I don't play a ton of PlayStation.
Yeah,
But 1K'd almost, actually 1K'd every single Lego game.
Nice.
It's the one game series my wife and I play together all the time. So to be in that, I didn't even have kids yet.
Yeah.
I have two kids now. One's 3 and one's 1 year old, my daughter. And I was doing it just for me and my wife. Like, I'm like, holy shit, I'm in a Lego game. Superboy was a lot of fun to figure out, though. Kind of like a young Keanu Reeves.
Oh, yeah.
I think Carrie Walgren played Supergirl. She would play the real Valley girl. That was fun.
Awesome. I'm excited to hear your perspective on today's stories. If you didn't know, this is Kind of Funny. Are you wearing Xbox shoes, by the way?
Yes. I didn't know if I I didn't know if I could wear them.
I don't know how I feel about this. It's more the fact that I know Tim tried to get these and failed.
These are the friends and family Xbox.
I'm sorry, that won't pass.
Xbox One Air Jordan ones. It says Xbox on the. But I did bring a backup plan. In case you need to switch. All right,
you bought PlayStation shoes. You brought PlayStation shoes. That's fine, then. Okay, then.
I do have the PlayStation Air Force Ones.
There's balance in the force once again.
Yes, there. So I can switch into these if you need me to at some point.
No, it's fine. We love everybody here because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. KindaFunny.com/KFGD with your questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names, and everything else under the video game sun. Then, tune in live as we record it on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. Of course, Scott's here. He just did the morning show. He's doing this show. He's doing GOG. If you're watching live, you can catch us do the Game Over Greggy show this afternoon. Patreon.com/kindoffunny for a buck. Or just get it on Friday. Or just get it the following Friday on YouTube. But you're promoting your participation in a charity event this weekend. What is happening this weekend?
Yes, this weekend we are doing the Team Hope Walk to raise money in Los Angeles for Huntington's disease. The Huntington's Disease Society of America is something my wife and I are very invested in helping. My wife has Huntington's disease, and so does my mother-in-law. Mm-hmm. It affects our family as well as 30,000 other Americans, and there's over 350,000 at-risk Americans that could have it and know it. It's what they call a boutique disease. It needs a lot of attention.
That sounds good, but it's not good. Yeah,
not good. It's a disease that impacts a lesser percentage of the population, but is really, really tough. It's a really tough disease. So we're trying to raise money to find a cure for it. And we're doing that this weekend. And we have a team page that anybody out there listening can stop by. September the 15th is when the walk is.
KindaFunny.com/teamporter. You can go support Scott and his wife. We'll talk about this in the Game Over Greggy show. You talked about it a bit on the morning show as well.
Yeah, but anybody stop by, read our story, and if you can, help, please. Every dollar helps.
Moving on to other housekeeping business, the Spider-Man spoiler cast is live. Insomniac's Brian Intihar came by, creative director on Spider-Man, to talk to us for 2 hours, nearly 2 hours of every spoiler known to man about what we know about Spider-Man. Do we talk about Scott's role in the game? Maybe, but we'll leave it at that for spoiler reasons. RTX London is this week. That's right. You can go to kindoffunny.com/RTX London right now to see everything we're doing. Joey Noel just updated it. It includes the community meetup. It includes all the other panels we're on, so you can see how busy we are. And it, of course, includes the Kinda Funny panel Sunday. If you're at RTX London, come hang out. And today we're brought to you, by Brooklyn and Loot Crate, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news! 5 items on the Roper Report.
A Baker's Dozen!
Kevin, Scott, and everybody watching, this is a breaking one that's happening. We don't have a lot of information for you because it's happening right as this is going on. Matt Kim at US Gamer has filed the following report that over on Dr. Disrespect's Twitch channel, his stream abruptly ended today because apparently someone shot at his house. Here's Matt Kim reporting. In a clip posted online on Twitter by YouTube news reporter Keemstar, Beam, and he's talking about Dr. Disrespect, returns to his stream without his Dr. Disrespect attire to address his viewers. Quote, ladies and gentlemen, I got to end the broadcast right now. Someone shot at our house, our upstairs window. Beam, Dr. Disrespect, also revealed that this is the second time in 2 days that someone shot at his family's residence. But today, the shots managed to actually hit his home's upstairs windows. The clip ends with Beam becoming visibly upset. Beam, who became one of the most popular streamers on the video platform Twitch for playing PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds under his brash persona, Dr. Disrespect, is one of the faces of the Battle Royale genre. He won Trending Gamer Award at the 2017 Video Game Awards. This is not the first incident of someone attacking the home of a popular streaming or YouTube personality. In January 2018, Rooster Teeth's Gavin Free and Meg Turney were victims of a home invasion, which forced the couple to hide in their closet and call 911 as the invader broke into their home. On Beam's Twitch channel, it states that his family is safe and that proper measures are being taken while the stream is offline. Obviously a breaking story right now. We don't have all the facts. There's a lot of stuff out there, as you usual see, but what the fuck, Scott?
I just, it's every day you wake up and go, well, it's going to be better.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just hear about more nonsense is not the word, but that's, I mean, it's insanity. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's just, and it's so disappointing.
Yeah. And that's the thing is it's, you know, it's, we're right back to where we were, I think, in the wake of the Madden tragedy, right? Of what can we say? What there's nothing to say right now, right? Like everyone knows that this is outrageous. I mean, there's no place for this. And why would anyone do this? And it's all the same things. And I think, you know, I was talking to a few people in the office here about it. And it's the idea that Doc comes back to the stream and he's without his you know, his hair, his sunglasses, his hair, all that. And the escalation in his voice, right? And I think it's the realization as he speaks that whatever happened yesterday that he didn't report or talk about publicly wasn't an isolated incident. It wasn't just, maybe this was a random thing that happened, because that can happen. It seems like, no, someone is targeting him, or somebody is, you know, making a point to go after his home.
It's an interesting conversation that goes above this, that, you know, a lot of celebrity over the course of time, you know, stalking reports, all of those things. But the level of accessibility that people have to, you know, film or television actors or actresses or people in the business for a very long time was very, very, very small.
Yeah.
But the accessibility to personalities on Twitch or on YouTube, all of these things, they are highly visible and very accessible.
Yeah.
And you hate to think that maybe we've gotten to a point where people need to take extra steps. We want to trust in the best of all of us. And I love this community and I believe in this community.
Sure.
You and I were both on the Jacksonville stream saying these same things. But, you know, reality and our ideas of what the ideals of this community are may be separate things, and
well, it's one of those, all it takes is one person, right? Like this isn't obviously demonizing, and even the Doc thing, but demonizing everyone who watches Twitch or everyone who's a fan, or right, it's just these specific instances, right? Whether it be this, whether it be the Madden thing, whether it be what they're talking about with Megan Gavin, whether it be Christina Grimey, right? Like the YouTube singer who was shot at a meet and greet. Like, it is that thing that I think we all wrestle with right now, in the way that, you know, when I favorite a tweet or respond to a tweet and somebody screen caps the tweet and puts it, I'm like, I can't believe this is the best day of my life, right? And that's happening while I'm walking my dog or waiting on the dishwasher, or we're such normal people that you, I think Doc or Meg or whoever, you have this, what normal life is. And then it is this thing of, well, maybe we should be a little bit smarter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe when I leave the apartment to walk the dog, I should lock the door, not, you know, not just walk out thinking nothing's going to happen. Even though nothing will, most likely, there's still these chances that it's not going to.
We live in an age of transparency, and not all of the transparency is to our
benefit. Yeah.
Benefit.
Yeah. 100%.
And it's just unfortunate, and I hope we can figure it out. But, you know, I think it's time to start thinking a little more about security and those things.
Oh, of course.
And it's a shame that we have to do it. But that's when we reach these levels of popularity and viewership and all of these things. And I mean, you know, a lot of people in middle America or, you know, a lot of my friends even go, hey, wait, so people watch people play? Yes, they do. And a lot of them do. And it's very wide reaching at this point.
Yeah.
I think it's just, you know, yes, we grapple with it, but it's just so unfortunate. And I really hope for his safety, his family's safety, and that we figure this out and get ahead of it.
Yeah. Of course, I'm off to London tonight. If there's any more developments in this, I'm sure they will teach you about it tomorrow on Kinda Funny Games Daily as we continue to get this. And of course, we're jumping to conclusions that it's a Twitch viewer, it's a fan, maybe it's, you know, there's a whole bunch of, everybody has lives and different roles in them and whatever and else. Obviously, that's what we jump to because it seems like that's what it'd be united at, but obviously there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. This is all from Dr. Disrespect too. It's alleged. I don't think he's lying to you, but it might be. It's, everything's breaking right now, and it's just another holy shit story of like, why? You know what I mean?
Yes, 100%.
And a cry for a million other things that need to be reformed here in this country. Number two. Fortnite has removed the drum gun. This is from, it was a slow news day up until then, believe it or not. Michael, Coxwara over at IGN says, the Fortnite 5.4 content update has removed the controversial drum gun with no warning or notice when the patch went live this morning. For weeks, Fortnite players have debated the drum gun's superb usefulness in a variety of different situations and what lengths Epic should go to balance the weapon. It features a quick and easy spray technique with a fast rate of fire that can mow down nearby enemies and even those at longer ranges. It also rips through enemy buildings, putting other assault rifles to shame, making the minigun and light machine gun obsolete. All right, is Fortnite taking over your life? Have you gotten into that? You were, because you were, you're Destiny through and through.
Yeah, I'm a Destiny guy, and yeah. I was actually going to just say that, you know, this is reminiscent of something Bungie had to do.
Mm-hmm.
Prometheus Lens, when it first came out in the Trials of Osiris DLC, and it was just a weekend of nobody using anything but Prometheus Lens and just melting each other, and it was kind of fun for a weekend. Actually like a breath of fresh air.
They leaned into it on the Destiny account, if I remember, Bungie account, right, where they're like, hey, this is, it's laser weekend, have fun.
But then they went ahead and disabled it until they could get the perk to work correctly.
Right.
Fortnite has not taken over my life. I'm a fan of Fortnite. I've been more into it since it's come to Switch.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Kevin,
he's one of us.
Yeah. Yes, there you go. Crossplay and all that. And one of my best friends in the world plays on Switch as well. And he's down in Orlando, and it's just it's fun to jump on. It's a little intimidating at first.
Oh, yeah. A lot intimidating.
But
yeah.
But I don't, you know, I know people are going to be up in arms, but I think sometimes it's just the smartest move. Just pull it down until we can balance it.
This is one of those. It's a rare news story, I feel, on Kind of Funny Games Daily that we just put out there, because it's literally, it is literal news. And there you go. Take away. For me, yeah, people are always mad about something, right? They're mad that they patched out the fact that you can't do the two shotgun technique and all this. Everybody adjusts, and it's Fortnite, and they'll be fine. Everybody's going to be fine.
The people that get mad about it are the people that are counting on it the most.
Of course. Yeah, yeah. That's
so
their strategy.
So it's like, figure something else out. Let's go, guys.
Number three, speaking of Nintendo Switch, there are new rumors about when that Nintendo Direct is going to drop. Ryan Craddock over at Nintendo Life reports, it's Nintendo Direct rumor time once again, folks. It would appear that the previously delayed Nintendo Direct will now air on Thursday, September 13th. Information from multiple trusted sources has indicated that the Nintendo Direct will now take place at 3 p.m. Pacific on Thursday. This timing corresponds exactly to the timings of the previous announcement, which was scheduled to take place at 3 p.m. last Thursday. This would mean the Direct has been delayed exactly 1 week, which is what I predicted when this there earthquake happened, and Nintendo, out of respect, was like, we got to delay this thing. You figure, of course, online details, what's going on there. Everybody's praying for Animal Crossing. We'll see. Hmm. Some kind of Smash announcement. You can go back to last Wednesday's Gamescast, I believe, or Daily, Games Daily, and hear Tim lay out exactly what's probably going to happen.
You know, the difference with Nintendo is, the like to a lot of other big companies, is that it's just on their timetable, but when they release it, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
So it's just like, you know, it's an exercise in patience, just like everything else with Nintendo.
Yeah.
But you do know that, like, when the last Zelda came out, everybody had waited for it forever.
Yeah.
And that is why they waited forever, because it's the most marvelous game that's ever been created.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you're going to get that. You're going to get Super Mario Odyssey level of entertainment and level design and just something new and fresh.
Are you all in? Are you buying the online pack or the Nintendo online thing with all, you know, it's like basically NES games that'll get you, they'll give you, and all this other save clouds and all that jazz?
I mean, the only thing is that there's so many other ways to consume that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, whether legal or illegal, I guess you want to say, but there's so many other ways to have played it or to play it. I think I'm going to be completely down with it if they show us a slate of games that are new and fresh, or some ports that just haven't been done before, or
sure,
maybe that you don't find everywhere. I mean, like the Super NES classic
that came
out, I mean, had some games on it that were just nearly impossible to find.
Sure, that's Star Fox,
you know,
one,
so,
right?
Yeah. So, you know, if they can bring some stuff to it from there, and if we get a good idea of the slate that's coming up.
Yeah, it'll be fascinating to see how they do this. They've announced so many NES games for it. And I say so many, a handful of them. They still have more to go. It's just, for me, I'm going to give them the $20 a year for save cloud backup, right? Just be able to back my saves to the cloud. Because if I lose my Octopath save, if I lose my Valkyria Chronicles 4 save, I'll lose my mind.
Right.
So it's like, I just want that protected. And outside of that, if I get some games on the back end, sure.
Right.
I'm never going to go play Splatoon 2 online. I'm not worried about that. That's not really the bonus for me.
Yeah.
I saw you with your Switch. You're a traveling man. What have you been playing?
I mean, I'm still... I've got two kids, 3 and 1. And when I do travel... I do take my Switch, but Rabbids is still my favorite.
Really? Oh,
yeah, Mario
vs.
Rabbids
yeah.
is still
great
just
game.
One of my favorite games of the last couple of years. I am getting ready to start Octopath Traveler. So I just
with the kids, you'll be playing that forever.
I know that's and that's the issue is that you know, once I start it on a flight or on traveling away from home, I'm gonna have to find time to play it at home, which means I'm either gonna have to do it on the toilet or in bed at night when I'm supposed to be watching TV with my wife. There's just like, there's a very, very limited window of time for me. So that's, I get scared to start something that I'm not going to be able to finish. Sure. And that's what's been so nice about like Rabbids or, you know, I'm, you know, rebuilding my Mario Kart, you know, tracks, and I've already unlocked everything on the Wii and, you know, on Mario 8 Deluxe, but it's still fun to do. And it's small snippets of time. You know, I want to start Dead Cells, but I've heard the same thing. It's like,
oh yeah,
you know,
that'll definitely
you kind of get sucked in to it. So
We got this London flight tonight, and I'm like giddy to have the 10 plus hours of sitting there with my Switch, and just playing Valkyrie. Hopefully, beating that somewhere either on the flight there or back, and then going back to Octopath and just actually making serious moves. Because for me, it's the same thing of, okay, I play an hour on the plane, or I play this, that, and then you set it aside because you come home to your consoles and they're on the TV, and then I go back out, and I just want to commit and be done.
Yeah. I ran into a huge problem a couple of years ago when I was, and that was before I had kids. Suikoden Tearcrest came out on Game Boy.
Yeah.
Back, you know, on the DS, and that took over my life. And now I'm a huge Suikoden fan, so it's like I had to play it, but I was playing it at home hours every day.
Yeah.
And I'm not even online. I'm just like
just sitting there,
just like
holding
oh, man.
Your DS playing.
That's why Zelda was really tough for me, but Odyssey was great too. You could play in a level, you can collect a couple of items, and then you can
and that was
call
the, you
it
felt
a day
like you were making progress.
Yes,
I'm gonna go get that one moon. I got that moon. I saw another moon. I'll go get that moon. And then okay, cool. I'm gonna stop here. Same with shrines was the same way in Zelda, right?
Yeah.
But then you get the one of like, oh, I hope this is one of the easy shrines. You get in there, it's like, well, here's this enemy. Like, God damn it. Andy, you were in sweatpants. You all set for the flight? Is that what you're doing there? You're already in flight mode?
Yeah, I don't want to be like uncomfortable.
Oh, wait, hold on. That mic's off.
Hold on. This is breaking news. Andy's in sweatpants.
I'm in joggers right now.
Yeah.
Call of Duty Blackout's awesome.
Oh, yeah? You played it last
time? Yeah.
Yeah?
Feels great. It's so smooth.
Yeah, you're supposed to come in and give us the report today. Sorry.
It is.
Breaking news. Number one games journalist, Andy Cortez.
Hey, what's
has played.
Up, guys? Here with all the scoops, guys. It's incredibly smooth and optimized for still being in beta.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It just doesn't like. You come to expect jank in these sort of brand new battle royale games.
Hey, you're testing out this experience, yeah.
Yeah, and I feel, but you know, even for the games that have been out for a long time, PUBG or H1Z1, you have the jank, and it's very present. It's always there. But this, it just feels so good. It's so buttery smooth. It's 60 frames per second.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to up the player count. I've heard rumors of that, but right now they're like.
We read an article here where they're like, we can go up, but we've lost fidelity. We want to make sure that you're getting this experience.
I think 80 is probably the perfect number, especially since the map isn't as big as what PUBG has to offer. But yeah, it feels so good. The inventory system still kind of, you know, weird. Clunky. But I did. Some people tweeted at me after I talked about it yesterday that they are looking to upgrade the inventory system, because right now you are just cycling through weapons and you're seeing one by one by one. You're not able to move everything. But yeah, it feels great. It's weird that there are zombies in it.
There's just zombies. In the mood? Yeah, you're right. Okay. Because isn't it all the Call of Duty characters are mashed up in there?
I don't really know, but no. I dropped in an area and they're like, oh, there's zombies in there. And I just thought I thought people were joking. And I was like, oh, why are there zombies in this one house?
Like NPCs that are attacking?
Yeah.
And so you kind of PvE element in the middle of a battle royale?
But in just one tiny area. Or maybe there's another area that I didn't drop. But you kill the zombies, they drop the weapons from the Call of Duty Zombies mode.
Gotcha.
So in this sort of realistic battle royale game with all these like cool, you know, super modernized weapons and ARs and stuff, you do have like a ray gun. And then there's a little like clapping monkey with the cymbals meant to like, you know,
I remember
I guess
from
distract
zombies.
People. Yeah. So I guess they're bringing everything in sort of throwing everything at the wall. I don't know.
How are they dealing with perks and kill streaks and stuff like that? Is it any of that stuff like basic Call of Duty stuff in?
A lot of the perks that you find are drops.
They're still drops.
Either you kill from you. I don't know if players drop them. Or if you just find them scattered around the world or whatever, but you have these perks and you know some of them are like, oh, you can see your teammates through walls, or you can blah blah blah, would it run this fast for 5 seconds or whatever. but the just some quality of life improvements, like healing on the go, feels so good. You're in a firefight, you could just sprint away and stick the needle in your arm and heal up for like, you know, 15%. You can find all these little tiny little med packs that are, I think, like a 15 health boost, and it's just super quick, and you know, you're in and out, you're not having to go somewhere, squat, and like the action dies. It's like constantly going. It was funny. I got destroyed by somebody who's part of the community.
Oh yeah.
In a game that I didn't know he was in.
Oh, that's funny. So then they just put it up
on
Twitter.
We just like matched up. Yeah, and he was like, and he came into my Twitch chat. I was like, I think I killed you in the game. I was like, no way. Like, send me a screenshot.
Look at you.
I was like, oh yeah, you fucking killed me. Yeah, I remember that fight.
Cool.
But it's great. It's awesome.
All right.
It's like, you know, I'm excited for whatever the future holds for, you know, what they're gonna do with this game.
Rad. Thanks, Andy. Thanks for coming back with the report. Thanks for dressing up for work. You know, we're wearing real pants.
I think it's really smart to throw that stuff in there.
Oh yeah,
I think you're differentiating. You're finding the middle ground between the two big dogs out there, right?
Him talking about it, right? That makes gets me interested. I want to play it. Here comes Nick Scarpino. What's he got to say?
Just an update on Mr. Porter's beverage order.
Yeah.
The place that Cool Greg went did not have Mountain Dew or cherry soda, so we are going to a 7-Eleven right now.
This is insanity.
We're going to
I can't work under these conditions.
What kind of self-respecting bodega has neither cherry Coke nor
the Walgreens,
Mountain Dew?
Which, by the way, also doesn't have coolers that work. So when you go, all of the sodas are lukewarm. It's disgusting.
They sell food out of those coolers,
they
though.
They sure do. They have ice cream in those coolers.
See, all right. That's enough of that.
The second Walgreens in 2 weeks that has
we
had
should
cooler
report
breaks.
This Walgreens to corporate.
All right. We're moving
right back
on.
With your soda in about 10 minutes.
Number four on the Roper Report. New Game Plus is coming to Spider-Man. This is pointed out to me by Adam Bankhurst over at IGN.com. And a quick little thing he said. Developer Insomniac Games responded to a fan last night on Twitter who asked, will there be a New Game Plus feature for Spider-Man PlayStation 4? While their answer didn't give too many details, they did confirm that, yes, they are working on it and polishing it up right now. What?
Come on.
I thought that was confirmed, but I saw the headline, and again, it was a slow news day up until a second ago, so I was like, there you go, put it in there.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, follow the course that God of War set and just kind of make people really wait for it and want it and keep it relevant months from now, and you know, it's single-player experiences and just trying to figure
out...
Yeah.
Nobody cares about
those
games.
Nobody. Yeah, nobody cares unless you make... A wonderful story, first player, and then everybody cares now. Oh yeah, no, maybe it was just the quality of things that was
the problem.
No, not always. I mean, sometimes release windows do matter.
Sure,
but
Titanfall 2.
But yeah, no, yes, mm-hmm. exactly.
Yeah.
Dishonored, any of those? but yeah, no. We know it's coming, right?
Yeah, it's exciting to talk about that. I want it real bad because, like, even like
now, I want to say I'm in the game, but I'm not confirming this. I have no insider baseball.
Oh yeah, you know, you just did
I'm
the
just
voice
saying
and left.
As
yeah,
a fan.
Yeah, yeah.
We know it's coming.
Yeah, I like the fact that they have the three DLCs planned out. You know, I mean, they've only announced Black Cat officially. The other two are still like questions in the air for the city that never sleeps. But yeah, whenever they get to New Game Plus, great. Because even last night, it was like, man, I want to play something before you go to bed. I'm going to London. I'm gonna have the Switch. It was like. I haven't gone to the firehouse yet in New York. I didn't realize that was there until the photo mode stuff started. So, all right, let's go. Jump back into Spider-Man. My final hidden my final photo I needed to get for that the hidden photo challenge thing or whatever, and then went to the firehouse. And I was like, this game's so good.
So you're just going to take your Switch to London though? You're not going to take your PS4?
No. Yeah.
I went to PAX West and took my Xbox.
Yeah.
Because Gambit mode was playable for the Saturday over PAX West for Destiny, so I took my Xbox.
Yeah, when I went to PAX East this year, it was in the middle of God of War review, so I took that, and I just played God of War. And then building up to PAX West, Spider-Man review might cross over. Oh, no. And I was like prepping Jen. I was like, I'm going to bring it. If that happens, I'm doing the same thing where I go do my panels, then right back to the hotel to play. But we got Spidey early, and I beat it, and it was like platinum did. I was like, great. And then she's like, are you going to bring the PS4? And I'm like, no, nothing is pressing enough for me to bring the PS4.
Right.
I got Valkyria Chronicles on the Switch.
Right. Remind me to talk to you later about Black Cat and HeroClix. We'll talk later.
Oh, yeah. I heard the morning show. Yeah, I played HeroClix back in the day. I don't play them anymore. Are you still actively playing HeroClix?
I do their unboxings for WizKids. I turned my love of the game into like now doing all of their unboxings
Dude,
for
HeroClix
every set
awesome.
On
yeah,
YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But Eric Lindbeck, who is the voice and face capture for Black Cat, and I... we did a HeroClix show on Twitch for a while. So Yeah, we'll get you back in. If you ever come down to LA, we'll do
it. I had my Invincible ones. I had my Superboy.
Yeah,
I was all about
let's
it.
Let's do it.
Number five, final story on the Roper Report for the day. Danganronpa and Zero Escape creators have joined forces and launched a new Super Team studio. This is via Allegra Frank over at Polygon. Chances are, if you played the Zero Escape games, a trilogy that combines visual novel elements with complex puzzle solving, all wrapped up in a mind-bending story full of death and murder. You're also a fan of the similarly blood-splattered, dialogue-oriented Danganronpa franchise. Of course, yeah, this is Greg talking, not Allegra. If you're a PlayStation Vita fan, I know you know all these things. It's only fitting that their creators, Kazutaka Kodaka and Kotaro Yuichi-Koshi, of Danganronpa and Zero Escape, respectively. I'm terrible at Japanese names and everybody makes fun of me. Have joined up to form their own indie studio. Two Kaio Games was revealed as part of a Famitsu Magazine live stream earlier today, during which the seven-member team introduced what it currently has in production. There are four projects in the works at Two Kaio Games. Kind of like Tokyo, but an extra O. Games thus far, many of which resemble the dark anime style of Danganronpa and Zero Escape. One game will be led by Kodaka and Urukusha, Uchikashi.
Ichikashi.
It's the pressure. It's like being, it's throwbacks to Spanish and French class when you're up in front of the class trying to read something.
Wakanai, Greg-san.
Oh, jeez. And it's the highest priority at the studio right now. It's not clear what the game will be about, but expect several teens entangled with murderous spirits in a fantasy world. Sounds right up their alley. Congrats to them. I know a huge number of Kind of Funny Best Friends love Danganronpa and love Zero Escape, so that's cool.
Tokyo.
You pronounce everything better than that, so that's why you're getting these jobs.
I did live in Japan for a year.
What was that about? Why did you do that?
I lived in Japan. I worked at Tokyo Disneyland. Tokyo Disneyland Okashu desu.
Okay.
I was a singer there.
Okay.
I was Pierre, the leader of Mickey's Adventureland Mardi Gras.
Oh.
And then I was a beatboxer in a Streetmosphere a cappella group.
That's awesome.
For a while, yes.
That's rad.
Beatboxing paid the bills for about 6 years of my life.
Holy crap, really?
Yes. Mm-hmm. My old a cappella group, we won Star Search, and then I did an off-Broadway show that was completely a cappella, which got me my first actual, legit, theatrical
When role. Does that start in terms of, like, how old are you? Is this your first foray and everything?
23?
Okay.
Yeah, I was like 23 at the time.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I got a show called Altar Boys, and that led to me getting an agent and getting Friday Night Lights and then never looked back.
How old were you at Friday Night Lights?
I was about 25.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Playing a 17-year-old.
Ah, nobody worries about it. Don't worry about it. It's like we're watching these Spider-Man movies, right, Kevin? Tobey Maguire. He looks perfect. Tobey Maguire looks perfect as a high school student. He's a kid just like my son. Like, no, he's not, man. He's a full-grown man laying there without a Spider-Man. Anyways, I digress. Scott, I'm excited to see what Two Kaio Games is going to be up to, but it's going to be so long till we get whatever the game's actually going to be. If I wanted to know what came to the digital mom and grop shops today, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Thanks for being there, Kevin. I'm going to miss you. Out today.
Going?
Huh?
Where are you going?
I'm going to London, remember? RTX. Last show for me for a long time. Nah, I can't do that. Out today, Project Cars 2, the Ferrari Essentials Pack. Boundless on PlayStation 4. Claws of Furry on PlayStation 4. NBA 2K19 on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Nefarious on PlayStation 4. Super Street the Game on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. And then V-Rally 4 on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. New dates for you. One Piece World Seeker has been delayed until 2019. The game will be available on PS4, Xbox One, PC, via Steam. That's one you were waiting for?
I need all my One Piece.
Yeah, I know, you're a big fan. X-Order, the fantasy, or maybe it's X-Order. I guess that's the same thing. They both sounded the same. I thought they would sound different as they came out.
They sounded exactly the same.
Exactly. I was like, Exo, like an Exo suit, Order, but then X-Order sounds just like it. The fantasy turn-based tactical RPG from Fat Dog Games in Solid 9 Studio launches on the Nintendo Switch September 27th, 2018. The Midnight Sanctuary comes to Switch, PlayStation 4, PSVR, and Steam on October 4th. Square Enix is remastering The Last Remnant for PlayStation 4. This is coming on December 6th in celebration of its 10th anniversary. This is interesting too, if you didn't know, because last week they pulled The Last Remnant off of PC and no one knew why. Now you do. They were remastering it for PlayStation 4. There you go. Deals of the day for
you.
You
think that they would just wait though to pull it until
same thing,
like, do it the same day?
Make it really awkward and weird.
I guess it is smart marketing though, just to like create a little like 10-person fear. Like,
wait, why? Yeah, why? Some of the people are talking about it. They're getting headlines again. And you wanted it so bad. Here it is.
Now you know.
Come buy it. Remastered.
Now you know.
Deals of the day for you. Xbox updated their digital deals for you. There's a whole bunch of Ubisoft stuff up there, including the Assassin's Creed Ezio Collection for just $20. Unity is $12. Syndicate's $20. And Origins, which everybody loves and is getting us ready for Odyssey, is $30. Far Cry is also on sale. Far Cry 5, $36. Fractured But Whole and Watch Dogs 2 are down to $18. Both of those games are great. Watch Dogs 2 didn't get enough love. Play it. Division's $15. Rainbow Six is $20. Six Siege is $20. I apologize. Then GameSpot had this. Rainbow Six Siege has new Twitch Prime stuff. Between now and December 31st, Siege players can get free exclusive in-game gear in which to deck out their operators. Right now, Twitch Prime members can visit Twitch to receive 8 Twitch Prime packs, including exclusive items for Habana, Finca, Ella, and Bandit. In October, 4 more Twitch Prime packs will become available, and again in November for a total of 16. You're guaranteed not to receive any duplicate items, and if you collect all the packs, you'll end up with 4 complete skins. Also included with the freebies is a legendary chibi charm. Worth pointing out, of course, if you're going to take this up, if you have Amazon Prime, you have Twitch Prime, which would give you this stuff and a free subscription to give away on Twitch. And you give it to Kinda Funny Games, and it would mean a lot to us. Person who's driving and listening to this as a podcast, who's not watching it live on Twitch, I know you have Amazon Prime, and I know you're lazy. I'm lazy too. But when you get home, log into your Amazon Prime, and then just Google Twitch Prime, and then it's one button press, and you sync up to Kinda Funny Games, and we get a free subscription. You got to do it every 30 days.
Boom. I'll do it. I didn't know.
You didn't do it yet?
No, I haven't done it yet.
God dang it, Scott Porter. God dang
it. Look, person in the car, I'll do it if you do it.
Person on in the car, take your hands off the wheel. Scott Porter's got it now.
We just made a blood pact. It's time to go.
It's time for reader mail. But first, I want to tell you it's brought to you by Brooklinen and Loot Crate. Brooklinen.com gives you great sheets. How do I know? I sleep on these sheets. So does Tim. We sleep in separate beds, but I wouldn't be adverse to sleeping in the same bed with them because these sheets are so comfortable.
Head to toe?
No. Naked to naked. That's what I like to do.
You know? No, not head to feet. Okay.
No. Right. Winner of the best of online bedding category for good housekeeping. Brooklinen is the fastest growing bedding brand in the world with over 20,000 five-star reviews. The sheets are soft, the colors are vibrant, and it's easy to mix and match. You go to brooklinen.com, click between the colors and styles, and find what's right for you and your home decor. Bedding can be marked up as much as 300%, but not at Brooklinen. They drop the middleman and sell straight to you. And right now, brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer to my listeners. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code GAMES at brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so sure you'll love the new sheets that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code GAMES at brooklinen.com. That's brooklinen.com. Promo code GAMES, Brooklinen. These really are the best sheets ever. If I'm lying, I'm dying. I do like them. Then it's Loot Crate. That's right. Loot Crate is sponsoring us. If you didn't know, Loot Crate is a monthly subscription box delivered directly to your door with exclusive pop culture collectibles, apparel, and gear. Loot Crate curates, designs, everything themselves. You can't find these items anywhere else. How do I know? Many of my Ghostbusters and... Do it. Are you fine? Crack that. Many of my Ghostbusters and DC Funko Pops are from Loot Crates, and that is much to Jen's chagrin, because she doesn't appreciate them. But I keep bringing them in, and Loot Crate keeps sending them. Yeah. Each month has a theme. This month's theme is First Contact. You can get out-of-this-world items from Marvel's Venom, Alien, Predator, and X-Files. Loot Crate packs $50 of value into every crate for less than $20 a month. You can't lose. This crate will sell out. You only have until Wednesday, September 19th at 6 p.m. to guarantee your order, or this crate will be gone forever. Get the best surprises each month from the largest geek and gaming subscription company. Geek out and style with Loot Crate. Subscribe now by going to lootcrate.com/games, enter my code GAMES, and save an exclusive 15% off your subscription. Lootcrate.com/games, enter my code GAMES, exclusive 15% off. Scott, let's see what's happening over here.
Let's do it.
Again, you have no inside information on Marvel games. We're pointing that out.
No. None whatsoever.
Vikers10 writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, does the popularity and good reception of Spider-Man PS4 in any way affect the untitled Avengers game being made by Crystal Dynamics?
I mean, here's the thing about making games. They take forever. I mean, honestly, who knows when this is coming out? Who knows what the cast is going to be? Who knows what characters they're going to be? You and I talked about this off air. I don't think it's not like a comic book. It's not even like the cinematic universe where you can go, okay, you know what? We can put an Easter egg or a couple of nuggets. I mean, maybe they could do that, but I don't think it's going to affect their story direction or anything. I think maybe they can be a little bit more bold now and seeing Spider-Man's success,
yeah,
and really swing for the fences and hope to achieve the same result.
Yeah, I still stand by. I don't think there's going to be that Spider-Man and Avengers are shared universe game. And I understand that Bill Roseman's from Marvel Games is always, I ask him about it every E3 whenever I talk to him, right? And he's always, we'll see. We just want to focus on these games. And Bill's a great guy, and Marvel Games has a great idea. But what Marvel Games is doing so well is going to talented developers, giving them the IP, and saying, make something awesome. And I really don't think that they want to go to Crystal and be like, oh, hey, either now let's shoehorn it in, as Vikers is kind of wondering about, or even from the start have been, cool, make your game, but Spider-Man's happening in New York, so don't have the Avengers in New York, and don't mention this, and don't, because there's going to be, if no matter how carefully you do it, there's going to be an Easter egg or whatever in Spider-Man that would then be negated or negate something in Avengers, yeah. I feel.
And also, we've seen the teaser, right? So we know that the Crystal Dynamic Avengers game has something to do with after the fall of something. I don't know.
Yeah, there's like rubble and everything.
Everything's destroyed.
Else.
Yeah, everything. Yeah, yeah. You know, I feel like we would have already, if they were trying to do that, cram them together, we would have already seen some of the effects of whatever happened to the Avengers in the Spider-Man game. If they were really trying to do that, I feel like they would have had to lace that already in.
And there's, I mean, I don't think, this is not a real Spider-Man spoiler, but if you're super trying to stay off the record, like their Avengers Tower is in Spider-Man, which is a cool Easter egg for Spider-Man. He makes one line of dialogue about where they are and why they're not there. And I've seen a lot of people on SpoilerCast even read into it. And Brian's response was, I don't know, but I don't think that ties into what they're doing. Maybe I'm going to be totally wrong and it will, and it'll all be one shared universe and I'm wrong, but it just seems like something I'd want my creators to go create whatever they want and not have to worry about it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, what I hope it does, you know, in the way of affecting what they're doing is just give them reassurance that awesome games can be made with Marvel characters and just let's swing for the fences. Let's do something special.
Yeah.
I mean, the Avengers deserve a special game with a unique story that needs to set itself apart from the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
And the only way to do that is do what Spidey did and go all in.
Yeah.
And hopefully they do. Hopefully they don't play it safe. They go, you know what? It can be successful. We're seeing it happen right now. Let's just, all those crazy ideas we had, let's just go at it.
Exactly. Paul writes in. Now, Paul writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD just like you can. Scott, I know this is going to sound crazy. This is a PlayStation-related question.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think you, as an Xbox achievement whore, can find the common ground with us about the PlayStation trophy whoreness here.
151,298 gamer score.
You're not obsessed at all. Paul writes in and says, Gregory Miller, I have a trophy-related question for you. With many people reporting that Spider-Man has a very obtainable platinum trophy that now makes three exclusive games in the last 2 years, along with God of War and Horizon, that have platinum trophies that even more casual fans can get with just a little work. Do you see this trend going forward, and what do you expect from the trophy list for games like Days Gone and The Last of Us Part 2? Do you think all of your yelling about trophies has finally paid off? Smiley emoji. Thanks for everything you do, Paul. I yell about trophies a lot on this show and every show and on the Twitter and on the Instagram.
As you should.
And in person and at E3. Yes, of course, this stuff matters to us, right?
Yeah.
Do you care when a trophy list is obtainable? Like, not, you're not killing yourself to get it or achievements in yours?
Not at all.
Yeah.
Here's my take on this. Putting extra difficult achievements into a game in the hopes of prolonging someone's time with your game is false depth. Mm-hmm. To me,
mm-hmm.
Don't use the trophies or the achievements as a crutch to try and get some extra replayability out of your game. Now, do difficult things that are skill based, that, you know, for like Ori,
a challenge.
Ori and the Blind Forest.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's a very challenging couple of achievements in there. Or for Titanfall 2, I know I'm mentioning Xbox games here.
No, but please go for it.
But to run the very first exercise and top in the place three of the time, that's skill based. And it's very cool. But it's not tedious. It's not overly hard. It's not impossible. Attainable trophy lists are perfectly fine in my world because those games, Spider-Man, God of War, Horizon, have incredible depth on their own, mm-hmm. even mm-hmm. without a trophies list.
Yeah.
And that's what all games should be trying to do. Have incredible depth and then have this cool little thing that kind of rewards the gamers for playing this incredibly deep game.
So. Well, I mean, the three games we're talking about here right now, right? Spider-Man, God of War, Horizon, are all games I've platinumed. And all three of them are games that once I platinum, I was like, man, I want more. Mm. And I can't tell you the amount of games that I have gone for the platinum. Or, you know, I have a lot of Xbox achievements. Well, not, I don't have a lot, but I've gone after Xbox achievements too in the same vein where it's like, it goes the opposite, where I finally finish it or I quit on it. And I'm like, you've left me hating your game and not wanting to play it, and it overstayed its welcome. Whereas like Spider-Man, I think, did tap out a little early. I could have gone for more collectibles, more or whatever. But it was a great platinum, and now I am like, man, take my money. Where's the DLC? Take it. Where's New Game Plus? Take it. In God of War, the same way of like, I finished that and I was like, man, this game just blew my mind. Horizon, the list goes on like that. But when you put in a trophy that is pretty much unobtainable, it's like, well, no, like I don't want to, you know, I don't want to grind out on this. I don't want to do it in where I have to do something so specific. And there is a bit of chance in there, right?
Yeah.
Like I think back to Freedom Wars, which was a PlayStation Vita game that was like, there was random drops in it and all stuff. And like to get the best gear to do the, and it's like, I don't have time for this. I don't have a desire to do this. Like, yeah. I always thought, you know, Dead Rising, the original one, that was one of my Xbox games where I did go out and grind out the achievements in it, right? And it went back and forth where it's like, it had achievements in it of like walk however many meters on zombies' heads, and like, you know, which made you had to get this upgrade, which made you, and I was like, oh wow, this is teaching me or challenging me way to play the game in a way I've never done before.
Right.
But then it was also do the genocide of killing zombies, and I was like, this is me for three nights driving around the parking garage basement in the car and being like, this is annoying.
Yeah, you had to kill the population of the town,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
zombies,
yeah.
And it was just, you had to play for an extra, I mean, you're talking about 16 hours of time. Like,
yeah.
I think somebody did the math once. If you kill the most efficient way to kill zombies, and if you kill them the most efficient way, it's still going to take you like over 16 hours to get all of those kills. And that's just doing that thing to get that achievement. That's 100%. Ridiculous. But like you said, and like I said, you know, if it's something skill based and makes you see the game in a different way, in a different light, and you play it a little bit differently, and it adds some actual depth, great. But also these are first party exclusives, and they want everybody to play them.
Yeah.
And they want everyone to come out the other side. They know how great the game is. Why leave a bad taste in somebody's mouth by doing something that is just tedious?
And that's the thing too, is that for the most part, PlayStation understands, somebody on first party understands how important platinums are to people, whereas third party does not. You got to submit your game. Does it have a platinum or not? We don't care. Go ahead. We're not going to give you any advice on this. We're just going to shove it out.
That's a whole other process though. From what I know of like working on Madden and some of the other games, like, And from what I know from my friends that work at Bungie, like there's guidelines that you have to ascribe to as a third party publisher to get something that can become an achievement or a trophy.
There's points
and
assigned.
Hoops you have to, there's hoops you have to jump
through.
But if
through they say, they, but remember, if you're a developer listening right now, probably indie, and you submit it and they say you don't get a platinum trophy, if you just ask for a platinum trophy, they will give you the platinum trophy. It's just you got to ask.
But like a way out that has achievements in it or trophies in it that have nothing to do with the main course of the game.
Yeah.
It just all relies on your exploration of the game. And this guy's a filmmaker and he wants you to explore his little film. He wants you to go everywhere and do all the little puzzles that are just kind of fun. If you don't want to do them, that's fine.
Exactly, yeah.
But if you want to do them, it added something for me.
Did you get the achievement? Did you get it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, me too, buddy, right there. Huh? That's what I like to say.
Boom, baby.
Paul says, what do I think this means for Days Gone and Last of Us 2's trophy list? For Days Gone, I think it's going to be an obtainable one. I think Eric Jensen watches this show. John Garvin knows me. And if they fuck up that trophy list, I'll straight up murder them. Because they understand they have a great open world. Don't mess it up. All right, Sony Bend, make it easy. Not easy, make it obtainable. Look at what Spider-Man did. And Last of Us Part 2, Neil Druckmann's going to fuck it up. He listens to this show too. Last of Us Part 1's trophy list was garbage. I'm sure this one will be garbage too. Kurt, if you're listening, fix the Last of Us Part 2's trophies. But he won't.
I have an achievement.
Scott Lowe, anybody?
I have an achievement named after me.
Where's that one?
Madden.
What do I have to do to get it?
I'm too overly competitive. And my friends, their nickname for me is Max Effort, but not in like a good way, like a very
bad.
Here comes Max fucking Effort again. And well, if you do the quick time events completely properly without missing a button prompt between Devin Wade and Colt Cruz in Madden's long shot,
because you're in long shot, you're Colt.
Yes, I'm Colt Cruz in long shot.
You sing the seminal song.
I do.
It's a long shot. It's a long shot.
Ooh. Written by Theo Fleury. Former hockey player,
okay,
Hall of Fame hockey player, who okay. decided to become a country really? Music singer after his NHL career. Yes, 100% true. One of my good buddies, Ben Hallmiller, is one of the producers on Madden.
I know him.
I told him, I said, look, I won an achievement, and he was like, all right, I got you. And then he named it Max Effort, which, hey, I'll fucking take it.
Sure. Remember Lego Avengers, the Beyond achievement is named for me. I digress.
Beyond!
Sam from Minnesota wants a little inside baseball. He says, hey, KFGD. Hey, guys. Wait, why are you saying hey twice? Anyways. Hey, guys. I have a question about the Roper Report, specifically how it's organized. Over the past few weeks, including yesterday, I've noticed that the lead story is different than the one chosen for the title slash thumbnail. So my three-part question is, how is the title slash thumbnail story picked? How is the Roper Report ordered? And what is the decision behind making the lead story different than the thumbnail? Thanks for all you do, Sam. Sam, if I'm on the show, except for that one time with Jared, I'm the one doing all these, so I answer for you. How is the thumbnail title slash story picked? Usually it's what's first on the Roper Report, and it's usually whatever the biggest story of the day is. How is the Roper Report ordered? Usually it's whatever it's the order I find it in, unless I'm like, oh, well, this story is clearly the bigger story and needs to go to the top. What is the decision behind making the lead story different than the thumbnail? This is an interesting one. Yesterday's story, we led with another Spider-Man thing. Oh, that it sold really well in the UK. My argument for not putting that as the thumbnail is that we've done a lot of Spider-Man so far, and today, the kind of funny spoiler cast with Brian for Spider-Man 4 was going to drop. So I didn't want it to be for sure back-to-back Spider-Man thumbnails in the kind of funny games way. So that's what I did there.
Boom.
There you go. Kevin, what did you order?
Smells good. Wonderful.
The fans is taking all the food and just making it over here. No, we're not mad. No.
I didn't eat breakfast. So
no, it's yeah, no.
It, no, I, the well, smell just bacon. Comes in this box and it does not leave. So we're just going to be...
Thank God it's that smell. Because it's been other smells that get trapped over here. And you don't want that.
It's intoxicating.
Brett Lee writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, Angry Greg voice. Listen up, you kind of funny fuckers. Whoa. On Monday's show, Greg glossed over the fact that Dust in Elysian's Tale was releasing on Switch. If you enjoy Metroid-style-vania games with over-the-top action, RPG-like elements, and adorably cute, lovable characters with a good, interesting story, then pick up this game. End voice. For real, though, this game is released for free back on PSN, and I fell in love with it, but it really hasn't gotten the notoriety I believe it deserves. I also wanted to share with the best friends how great this little game is. Love what you do. You make my work days easier.
You can check me on this, but I think Dust was all done by one guy.
That sounds right.
I played the shit out of it.
Yeah.
There's one spike in difficulty in the middle that felt like, holy shit, but that game up until Ori came out was my favorite Metroidvania style game on Xbox.
Okay.
I loved it. It was in the Games of Summer sure. indie lineup that they used to do, which I miss. You know, Bastion came out of there.
Oh yeah. Oh,
Dust
yeah.
came Dude, out of there one year.
That stuff was great.
Yeah. So yes, this game I can co-sign.
Summer of Arcade was always awesome.
I can co-sign.
Okay.
Brettley's not his anger.
Well, that's just a character. That's just an angry Greg voice character. That's fine. Now he's not mad.
Yeah, but yes, everybody, please, please, please. You want to talk about a game that you can play on Switch that you feel like you've done something and yeah. you can put it down? It's a shorter style game. You know, like a lot of the smaller platformers, you can probably get it done in 6 hours. You know, if you're taking your time. Lots of cool different powers to get. It's a neat little world okay. that you play in. Very mystical, magical type of stuff.
You keep coming back to, you have these two kids, and they get into your gaming time.
Yeah.
What are you, if somebody described, like, what games are you looking forward to? Like, what do you play? Like, what do you prioritize that you have to play?
So we've got the big Mamma Jamma Destiny. I've
of course.
Since my son, was born in May, the year, in 2015, the year that Destiny released.
Yeah.
He's
only known this Destiny life.
And
his father, the Guardian.
His father. Actually, we were, I shit you not, we were playing Warlock and Titan yesterday. He wants to know what weapons they use. So my wife, I'll post some of this stuff on my Instagram, but my wife made out of a cardboard box a shield, Zelda shield for him because he wanted to be Link in Zelda a couple of weeks ago.
Sure.
And she makes all this stuff out of, and he's got the shield. So I said, well, you've got your shield. There's a hammer. The one of the Titans has a big, you know, flaming hammer now. Or you can have the Sentinel shield. It's purple. And he's like, oh, I want to have the shield. So he wanted to be a Titan, wanted to have the shield. And he gave me his Master Sword and told me I was going to be the Warlock with the Fire Sword.
Adorable.
And then we went around and found, quote unquote, Hive throughout the house. And we, yes, I
is your wife tossing out engrams for him to pick
so
up?
So here's the thing. The reason he knows this is not because he sits and watches me play. It's because they made a children's book called Diaz for Destiny.
Oh, really?
For all the children of the people that worked on Destiny so tirelessly. And I bought it, and he loves reading that book. It's A through Z, and it's all things that
that's
are in
awesome.
Destiny.
That's
so
really cool.
That's priority number one. I have a lot of good friends who play that game, and that gives me a little bit of... Because here's the thing. Secret, when you have kids, a lot of your friends that you had, like, you just don't talk to
them
anymore.
They're done now. Yeah.
Yeah, and so this allows me to keep in touch with them and still challenge myself both in a PvP context and a PvE context. So the raids are fantastic to get together to beat. And I can pick things up. I can pick bounties up. I can do stuff short amount of time. I have naptime gaming and nighttime gaming. That's
okay.
What I have.
Okay.
But besides that, I play a lot of smaller games. You know, I mentioned Ori. I can't wait for the new Ori to come out. Dust, games like that. A lot of these adventure games that have come out, Gone Home, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Played through those. What was the Edith?
What Remains of Edith Finch?
What Remains of Edith Finch? A lot of the things that Annapurna is doing.
You played Donut County yet?
Have not.
There you go. That's a good one.
It's mobile, right?
Yeah. Well, it's on PlayStation 4. It's on PlayStation 4. He was just in the show. PlayStation 4, PC, iOS.
Yeah, so yeah. I gotta fire up the PS4 for that. See, the PS4 is up in the man cave.
Gotcha.
The Xbox is downstairs in the main living room.
Sure.
It's just easier for me to get on because at night, the kids are sleeping right next to the man cave. So
yeah,
I just need to move the PS4 downstairs. Anyway, long story short, a lot of like the smaller adventure games, platformers, stuff
That's awesome.
Like that. And then occasionally I'll take on a big game. I can't take on anything too big. I probably will not play Red Dead.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I just, there's no...
Did you play the original?
It's,
or not the original. Did you play Red Dead Redemption?
I did. Okay. I did. I played it for 28 hours, and all I did was pick flowers and shoot birds. Because
you live in the dream.
You understand this.
Oh, yeah.
As a guy who tries to 1K games or platinum games, I'm a bit of a completionist.
Sure.
And being a completionist in a Rockstar game is just...
It'll drive you crazy.
Yeah, and you just want to spend your time in there forever. And I end up like going down a very lonely rabbit hole when I play those things. So I think the Assassin's Creed games are probably the biggest.
Odyssey.
I will.
Can't wait.
Yeah, Origins was amazing, and I can't wait for Odyssey. So, you know, some of those. Okay. That's probably my gaming habits right now. Nap time and nighttime gaming.
Do you know Andrea Renee? Do you ever do anything with Andrea Renee?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
You should play Destiny with her. She's a big Destiny
fan.
She's
on PlayStation. Here's the thing. My Destiny account, we've talked about it many times, is on Xbox. If there was a way to take my character from Xbox and move it over to PlayStation, half of my fire team left me last year, and they
went
jumped
to PlayStation?
On. Yes.
Yeah.
Because they get all the exclusives.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
A year ahead of time.
Yeah.
And, you know... I stayed with the other half
Plus
of my
Destiny,
fire
really
team.
Attainable platinum. You know, Destiny 2, really good. I have that platinum. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got
the 1K.
Oh,
no, you have. I'm sure you have.
I got the 1K.
I'm not worried about that.
We're good. I did my Prestige Nightfall. We're good to go.
Final question of the day goes to Blizzak, who says, clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose.
Woo!
Just want to say that to Scott.
Dude. Well,
wasn't a question at all. Just saying that to you.
Texas forever.
You ever get sick of that? Or do you like that, like... You're identifiable with such a great line and show and all this.
It gave me my entire career. I'll never get mad at it. I never thought, though, that I would have something that people would say to me that I would get tired of. And the, oh my God, it's a miracle you're walking, has become like, that's the thing. That's, if I'm in an airport, you know, it's just like, oh my God, you're walking. I'm this, oh yeah, I am. I have not heard that so many times in my life. But if I hear a clear eyes, full hearts, I will always turn around and yell, can't lose.
Oh, that's awesome.
I will always be grateful to that show. I wouldn't be doing games if it wasn't for Friday Night Lights. So never get tired of it.
Good. Scott, it's time to squad up. This is where one of the best friends writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me their name, username, platform of choice, and why they need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends, come and find them. Today, Joe Benbella needs help in indie development. He needs help on Twitter. His Twitter is JoeyBeansSan. Joey Beans with an S and then San. So double S there. Anyways, Joe says, hello, KFGD crew. Love everything you do and hope you're well. I'm writing in today because I'm trying to get in contact with best friends who may be working on some indie projects and might like their projects to be translated to Japanese or vice versa. I've always wanted to work with games, but I have no coding background and my artwork has never managed to break out past my mom's fridge. I often hear you talk about how we should focus on what we already do and try to bring those skills into the industry. So that's what I'm attempting to do today. I live in Japan, so the time difference may be a barrier, but if anyone is interested, shoot me a DM and we can chat. To clarify, I'm not a professional. I'm not looking to get I'm not looking for a paid gig. Just a chance to collaborate with some best friends to maybe do something cool. Love everything you all do. You make our corner of the internet a better place. Heart at Joey Beans Sam. This will be in the description, right, Kev? Awesome. Kev's nodding. I can see it. You can't see it. He's eating too. Good. Is your omelet good?
It's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a rare miss for Squat and Gobble.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
It's crazy because they have another one that I love.
Yeah.
And today I was like, I'm going to try this one because I've never had it before.
It was a mistake, huh? Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's why you're going to have order envy when you see everybody else eating their delicious food. Oh, no. Oh, no. I have a friend. He's a bit of a neurotic guy. He's a screenwriter. He, when you go to order at a restaurant, will not order until everyone else has ordered. Mm. But if you order the thing that he wanted to order, he gets slightly upset and then may go on tilt and may order something.
Wild card.
Completely, yeah.
Wild card.
He throws his hands up in the air.
Give me the pig's head.
You order, what was I going to order? And he's like, he's super competitive too. So I think why we're like best friends. Yeah, but he wants to always win the table. And then there's some nights when he's just like, this is regret. You ordered the thing I wanted to order. Like, why don't you just order first, Jamie?
Yeah.
I have to wait.
Does he make games?
No, he doesn't. He wrote We Are Marshall, the movie We Are Marshall,
okay, yeah, or
Dear John.
We know somebody else.
Money exactly Monster.
Someone else like since it happened. Yeah. Weird.
Yeah,
Small world.
Went to middle school together, and now we're both in L.A., and he's writing.
Look at you. All your famous friends.
There's four of us. Four of us from a little high school in Florida made it out here and are working in the film industry.
Anything can happen.
Lake Howe High School represent.
We ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tell us what facts we screwed up as we were doing the show. Mm. So we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. That's not a wrong, that's a correct. Harry here says, Greg mentioned a lot of NES games were announced. However, 10 out of the 20 of the starting lineup haven't been announced. He left that loose. Have been informed. It doesn't matter. Yes, there's 10 games we still need to learn about. That's what you'd assume would be at this thing. Ask Captain writes in with a story we missed, he says, but that was not translated on any site I had seen yet, so I underwear. They'll get it tomorrow. Famished Yoshi said, I believe earlier you and Andy were discussing the Call of Duty Blackout player count for the beta, and while it is at 80 players yesterday, today Treyarch upped the players to 88. That's interesting. I missed that. Thank you very much.
Crazy 88.
Zaire says there's a new date. Shopkeeping action RPG Moonlighter is coming to Switch in November. Thank you very much. Kebab says the original teaser trailer for the Avengers project ended with hashtag reassemble. So the destructive visuals feel like it was very Infinity War Part 2 type of story.
Yeah, and I feel like we would have felt that in Spider-Man.
Yeah.
If that was the case.
If they had been disassembled, yeah. Kebab says Dust Elysium Tale was indeed created by a single person, Dean Dodrill.
Got it right. I got it right.
And then Lord of Bones says the Destiny 2 Platinum is currently unobtainable for new players because of the DLC stuff, right? And that dude's locked people out of some stuff or do whatever.
Yeah, the prestige situation, I think, is what's preventing it. Because
should have been there earlier.
To prestige Nightfall, but I think you can still prestige Raid and get it done. If the 120. Yeah.
I did Nightfall. I did the Nightfall thing, you know, and get run through with other people.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the one that's the hiccup. There might be one, but I unlocked it so long ago, I can't.
My
even
man
remember.
Over here, you know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying, Kev. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is in Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every week, on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD with questions, comments, concerns, and more. Watch the shows recorded live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listen on podcast services around the globe. I am off to London for RTX London. You can keep up with me, kindoffunny.com/RTX London. See where we're going to be, what panels we're doing. That means tomorrow's host is Wednesday. For Wednesday is Andrea and Gary. Then Thursday, Andrea and Jared. Then Friday, Jared and Damon. If this hasn't been made clear to you, I'm not back till the 24th, meaning that all next week I'm on a real vacation, meaning that you'll have all sorts of random people in here to host and do things with you. So that'll be exciting. Boo yourself, Kevin. Go to another one of your 17 weddings you got to do. I leave, nothing goes wrong. You leave, everything breaks. Nothing posts right. All right? Think about that.
Real vacation. When's the last time you took one?
I'm doing the thing where I'm putting up the out-of-office message that I'm like, I'm not checking the inbox. And I don't know the last time I put up an out-of-office that was like, I'm literally not checking this.
Hardest working man in games business.
That's what they call me. You know what I mean? Suck it, Andrea Renee. Busiest lady in business. Scott. You're here for kindoffunny.com/Team Porter.
Mm-hmm.
Huntington's disease.
Yes.
You're going to talk about that on the Game Over Greggy show today.
Yes.
That'll be 2 o'clock on patreon.com/kindoffunny if you're still watching. And if not, it'll be up on Patreon on Friday and then a week later on YouTube and all the other stuff.
Okay.
Anything else you want to promote? You're in games, of course, Spider-Man. That's happening right now.
Wait a minute. So what we do today won't be available.
Today, it's live. You can watch it live on Patreon.
Got it.
Friday, if you support us on Patreon, you can get it early. Mm-hmm. And if you don't want to pay any money, a week later, it goes up on YouTube and podcast services.
Which will be after the walk.
Sure, but you can still donate after the fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can.
Yeah, don't worry about that. Please.
Yeah. Anything else I wanted to? No. I mean, I've had a pretty cool year in games. If you haven't played Madden, go check out Colt Cruz's story, what happens in Madden's Long Shot 2, and play the shit out of Spider-Man, and see if anything interesting happens with Harry throughout the course of that game, Harry Osborn, you know, if there's any cartoon crossover stuff, get ready for Black Panther's Quest. It's a new cartoon coming out on Disney XD, and I will be White Wolf. I'm Black Panther's brother in that. So
you're a busy man.
Yeah, man.
Well, thank you for coming.
Trying to keep it going.
It's a pleasure working with you.
It's a pleasure being here.
Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.